A reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I will in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease, without fear of harm. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, beginning at verse 14.
Praise and glory to God.
The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf that they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, "Is it because we have no bread?" Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ, the Word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. No doubt you have heard the quote, "We buy things with money we don't have to impress people we don't like." It pretty much describes our consumer culture. And we can all recognize something of that of ourselves in it. And probably we can recognize even more so a few other people that we've come across. Of course, it's a mindset that advertisers promote, but once you step back a bit, you soon realize that, like so much that humans do, it's really foolish. At the moment, we are looking at the book of Proverbs. And 2 weeks ago, we read the passage from chapter 8 in which wisdom invites people to sample her goodness. When I prepared this section for this month, I did wonder why the lectionary didn't start with chapter 1, but rather with chapter 8. But when I read the text, I decided to stick with the order of the lectionary rather than start with chapter 1. It's probably better to be inviting at the beginning rather than, the words that we heard John read today. But in actual fact, the book as a whole also starts fairly inviting, not as poetic as we've read in chapter 8. But these are just a very few short verses that invite people to wisdom. But soon the book of Proverbs turns from inviting to, I would call it, nearly scolding. The passage we've read today sounds more like an expression of frustration, telling people very plainly that they are foolish and stupid and that they reject wisdom at their own peril. Well, that doesn't sound very welcoming. People often don't react well when they're told that they're wrong. Just imagine the reaction if you told somebody, "Since you ignored my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster." Quite definitely that person would feel somewhat offended. They would tell you to mind your own business and tell you how rude and offensive you are and that you have disrespected them. Now, if you point out past failures, people normally get quite defensive and justify their own decisions. For example, they say, "I don't regret anything," even more so if they have made questionable choices. The sad thing is that people who have led a wiser life often recognize their faults and do have regrets. Making errors and learning from them is part of human life and part of a wise person. But we often don't want to recognize that. It's a sad fact of life that once faults are pointed out, it's very hard to admit that we have been wrong. While politicians and large institutions are particularly prone to holding to a disastrous course, it's something we are all tempted to do. Often it's a way of saving face, which sometimes seems more important than honestly looking at our lives. We normally don't react well to someone pointing out the inconsistencies in our lives. It's even become quite commonplace to twist the words of Jesus. "Don't judge me" is a common response of people exposed to criticism. "Don't judge me," it's a harmless enough phrase usually. People often say it as they take a second piece of cake or binge watch a favorite show on TV. "Don't judge my little lapse in discipline or my small indulgence of a bad habit." But the phrase is actually quite problematic if used as a general rule of life. A life lived simply for the pursuit of pleasure has nothing honorable or admirable about it. In fact, such a life becomes increasingly vacuous and somewhat morally stunted. An example of that may be many of the celebrities that we see in our entertainment magazines. Their petty conflicts and rivalries are splashed out in detail there. Throughout the Bible, God calls us to a different life, a life of concern and purpose. Wisdom is exactly not a focus on improving our own lives. It's not about maximizing one's own pleasure or one's power. Rather, it is a life for others, a life that is lived for God. Wisdom takes an interest in the world and in the well-being of others. A wise person responds to the needs of the world and cares for others. A wise person risks hurt and disappointment by loving others. And a wise person is not detached from the cares of the world and does not disengage from others. Yes, I think a wise person sometimes gets frustrated at the foolishness of the world, but the solution to that frustration is not withdrawal, but rather continued engagement and honesty, acknowledging that the world cannot be single-handedly changed, and that disappointments will surely come. According to the Bible, most of all, a wise person trusts God, or the phrase that the Bible frequently uses, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now, the phrase "fear of the Lord" does not indicate that we are afraid of God, but rather that we have a reverence and trust for God. There's the reverence of realizing the glory of God, the transcendence, the otherness and splendor of God, but also acknowledging the power of God that despite so much folly and evil in the world, God directs and holds the world. Wisdom knows that we can entrust our worry for this world to God, and that God will bring about God's purposes in a way we cannot fathom. Wisdom also acknowledges the deep mystery of God, who is beyond human knowing and yet is close to us and whose traces can be seen in the world. And wisdom is accepting the precepts of God for our own lives. It is to seek truth in the face of many lies. It is to do what is right when the convenient would be so much easier. Wise people live according to God's guidance and can also bring the concern for this world and the disappointment with this world to God. They do not have to carry this burden alone. From that comes joyful service. Well, it's quite clear that Jesus at times was also frustrated at the foolishness of the world. Even the disciples do not understand. Jesus realized that they have not really learned the lessons that he was trying to teach them. They worry about having enough bread when they have repeatedly been given all that they need. Jesus wants them to concentrate on the important things, but the disciples are worried about bread. How foolish! That's worse than insisting on McDonald's when you've been invited to a nice Italian restaurant. Or worse, as Jesus said it, worse than hanging onto your dirty old clothes when you've given new robes for a wedding feast. When they could have received God's rewards, the disciples are worried about bread. Jesus asks them whether they were not there when Jesus fed the 5,000 or the 4,000. And yet, even though they have experienced all that, yet they are still concerned about having enough. Even the disciples who had been with Jesus so long did not really understand. If the disciples did not understand, maybe we also have to look at ourselves and consider our own lack of understanding. After all, we, as part of the Christian faith, acknowledge that humans frequently sin, not just out of deliberate evil, but probably more so due to human foolishness and short-sightedness. We are only human after all. Jesus invites us to come to him with our failings, so that we can receive forgiveness and renewed direction and purpose. That requires humility, humility to come to Jesus and find in him true understanding and knowledge. After all, so often we are taken in by what appears worldly wisdom. We need humility to acknowledge our failings so that we can more fully accept God's riches for us in Jesus Christ. Amen.